Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, January 22nd. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also today, I have the lovely John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, and I'm not even Hugh Downs.
For the two of you who picked up what John was putting down, I appreciate you very much right now. So actually, John, I want to start with you. Andrew posted a link teaser today to an article about a lab the Southern District of New York is using to bust into phones. And you actually sat down and spent a little time with the original piece. And I'd like to have you talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Andrew, bless you, found the original article and did a link teaser to it. But I've been reading through the full article this morning at Fast Company. And it's fascinating on several reasons. First of all, it provides a very sober, intelligent, well-perspectived.
All right, word
view,
now.
Viewpoint of law enforcement and the things that they have to go through to break into not 5 or 10 or 15 or 50, but thousands of phones that they have in their possession.
Oh, gosh.
That have been used by criminals and the difficulties that they go through and the balance of power, so to speak, between Apple keeping the system secure against the bad guys and what the good guys have to do to break in. Prior to iOS 8, there was more cooperation, the article points out, and that kind of dried up. And the flavor of the article shows you what law enforcement has to go through, what they're trying to achieve, what they do, and the techniques that they have at their disposal. And that kind of percolates upward to people like the Attorney General and the President, who take a thumbnail view of the whole thing and kind of summarize that by asking Apple to make things easier and provide that backdoor because of the difficulties that, for example, the Southern District of New York goes through in trying to break into phones. So it's a well-written article. It provides a lot of perspective about the balance between the two powers the beast, so to speak, law enforcement and Apple. The article concludes with kind of curmudgeonly comment that Apple doesn't get to make this call, law enforcement does, but that's open to question because any kind of a balanced situation, the consumers have a say in the situation, and Apple's our surrogate.
Well, I think part of where that comes from is that there is a line, right? There's certainly a balance to be struck between a little bit of hassle for legitimate people and, you know, what you can do to make that far more complicated for somebody who's trying to do something with, less than savory intentions.
It should require nation state status and resources and finances to be able to break into a phone. Mm-hmm. That makes sure that just ordinary, you know, bad guys off the street in their basement can't break into a phone that they've stolen.
Right.
And one thing that's interesting about this is that Cyrus Vance has a lot of money because of court cases that they've won. Mm-hmm. And they're able to finance this rather sophisticated laboratory and hire experts. And they have a supercomputer that generates 26 million passwords per second, which doesn't sound like a lot. An iPhone can probably generate 26 million passcodes a second. A supercomputer can do a lot better than that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, kind of out of sync. What their view of a supercomputer is maybe different than mine, but that's an aside.
But John, I think most people's definition of a supercomputer is different than yours.
Yeah, but the point is I'm trying to make is that customers are still reluctant to, I think, turn on the limit of 10 passwords and then erase the phone. And that opens the door. On the other side, only about 80% of the phones they encounter have a password on them at all. Mm-hmm. You would think it would be 100% or 99%. But
well, and then the next question becomes, of those 20% that they have to worry about a passcode on, if they try 1234 and 7890 and 4321, then like then how many are left where they actually have to try and figure out what a passcode is? Well,
the default is six, and there's a million combinations.
Yeah.
And the, what I noticed, not pointed out in the article, but what I found interesting was is that the iPhone doesn't seem to discriminate between a user who's trying to remember a password and typing one in every 5 or 10 seconds, and a computer that's got plugged into the iPhone and is generating lots of passwords in succession.
Oh, just like firing off as fast as it can.
Yeah, iOS doesn't seem to be smart enough to detect the difference in those two scenarios. And so it's still possible to connect an iPhone electronically to a black box and start firing passwords at it
at a high rate.
And then you can break your way in.
Yeah, interesting. So, Andrew, I know this caught your eye. And part of why we wanted to talk about it, part of why it appeals to me to talk about it, is not because I think this is a terrible idea, not because I don't think that the SDNY is doing what they need to be doing or that they're doing it in an irresponsible fashion, but because a lot of where security comes from is awareness. So if you are aware that there are people who will go through a parking lot and check doors to see if something's unlocked and maybe they can get in, and if they can get in, then they'll take whatever they can get out of the glove box or whatever. Like, because of your awareness that that's a possibility, like, people lock the car when they leave it, you know, somewhere. So, like, that's where we need to get with security, I think, for our devices, for our computers, for our home networks, for all of that. It's not very hard to be secure enough that if somebody were trying the digital equivalent of, I'm going to try the door and see if it's unlocked, to fail and then go, oh, well, in that case, it's too much work. I'm moving on to the next place where they've got admin as their router password and I can get in. Yeah. So, like, Andrew, I know that's part of why this caught your eye. What was it that stood out to you in this article?
Well, like John said, to do something like this, you do need to have a nation state's level worth of money and technology. This cyber lab, they say, is worth, I think, $10 million. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's like I would definitely rather have them brute forcing their way on the device level than, of course, have a backdoor into iCloud.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's definitely a cat and mouse game that Apple is doing, but it's also a fine line. And I kind of feel like Apple maybe doesn't want to lock it down too much because... Like yesterday, we were talking about Apple not end-to-end encrypting iCloud. Yeah. Well, I think if they did that, the FBI would be going even harder to get a backdoor.
Right.
But, I mean, now they are anyway, so it's kind of a lose-lose situation for Apple.
Well, not even for Apple. It's a lose-lose situation for you and I, basically.
Yeah.
You know, as Apple users. And part of that is because we don't hear a lot of this about Android, which is the other super common operating system. It's like Coke and Pepsi. Like, there are people who drink RC, but there's not a lot of them. So this is like, that's kind of how the mobile OS situation breaks down. Like, there's iOS and there's Android, and those are like most people by and large. So I want to know the same kind of stuff from Google. And I would like to find out, like, if the FBI goes to Google, what information can they get, and how much of what you store with Google in your Google account is encrypted data that even Google couldn't get their hands on if they wanted to, that kind of stuff. So I would be very curious to see that. If you know what that is, or if you have resources on that, we would love them. Observations@macobserver.com is how you can send them to us. And I would love to discuss that, because I really want to be able to compare like to like. I know it's apples to apples, but like, that seems cheap since that's what we're talking about. So I want to, like, I would really like to be able to compare head to head and find out how privacy stacks up across devices, because I definitely would like to know, because if Google's more secure, that would be definitely an interesting thing to note and to talk about. Again, awareness is, you know, 9/10 of the battle. So it would be really nice if we were able to find some of that out.
I have one more parenthetical comment. I know you want to move on to part two, but I think it's important to realize that when you're working hard at something, you'd like to have your job be made easier.
Yes.
and you feel like you're in a noble cause, and if your job were easier, your noble cause would be executed more properly. But that's the price that SDNY and others have to pay for the rest of us having our security and our freedom. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So that's the balance.
Yeah. And like I said right at the beginning, there's always there's a balance to be struck. We have to figure out what that is and be able to make that trade. So, you know, then it falls to people to decide if whatever the trade-off, if it's worth it for them to continue to do that or not. So, yeah. Thanks, John. And I'm really glad both of you were here today to talk about this one, because this is a good one to discuss. Right now, what I'd like to do is thank our sponsor today. And our sponsor is Lightstream. Lightstream wants to refinance your credit card balances, and they want to do that with a credit card consolidation loan. You can get a rate from them as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, which is way less than the credit card rate that you're probably being charged, which is usually over 20% APR. Your loan can be $5,000 to $100,000. There's no application, origination, or transaction fees. There's not even a prepayment penalty. You can apply right on your phone, and you might even get your money the same day you applied. Just for my listeners, if you apply now, you can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. Again, that's an additional interest rate discount just for you at lightstream.com/TDO, lightstream.com/TDO. As you know, subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions do apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TDO for more information. And we'd like to thank Lightstream for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic is actually sort of two things. Andrew has a couple of tips for us. And Andrew, I'm just going to let you take it away.
Yeah, so the first tip is about Apple Card. Now, an early complaint about that was Apple doesn't make it possible to hook third-party applications into Wallet for, like, money management apps, basically. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure it was just a privacy issue.
Yeah.
But they recently gave us sort of a middle ground. So you can now export your Apple Card data to a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And the way you do that is you'd open up a wallet, you tap on your Apple Card, and then you tap card balance. And then you can scroll down for each monthly statement that you see. Just tap on that monthly period and then tap export transactions. Now, there is a couple limitations. You can only export one full month at a time, not a partial month.
Okay.
And you also can't export multiple months at once.
Okay.
So it is kind of it's a little bit more work that you have to do, but maybe that will change over time. And Who knows, maybe in the future, Apple can let you export an entire year. I think that would be pretty nice.
That'd be very nice. Yeah. And long-time listeners, long time to last fall when the Apple Card came out, might remember that this was Mr. Kelly's primary complaint about the Apple Card. So it might be time to have this conversation at my house again. I'm sort of hoping. We'll see. Andrew, you had another tip for us about some flavors of AirPods.
Yeah, so I also recently, as in just yesterday, got AirPods Pro. I really like them. Kelly's jealous.
I am. I have mere mortal AirPods that charge wirelessly. So, yeah.
So, basically, a tip that I found is something new Apple did. With some versions of their headphones, they have this new H1 chip. Mm-hmm. And if you have the AirPods second generation, the AirPods Pro, Beats Solo Pro, or Power Beats Pro, there's this feature Apple added called Announce Messages with Siri. And I think they showed this off at the keynote when they announced the AirPods Pro. So basically, if you have this feature on and your iPhone is locked and you get a message, Siri will say who it's from, and then will read you the message. And then at the end, she'll like give a pause to allow you to tell her what you want to respond with.
Really?
And it's all hands-free, so it's really nice.
Yeah, I need to try this. I'll be texting you later, Andrew.
Yeah. So you'll need an iPhone or iPad running iOS 13.2 or later, because that is the feature, the version that added this feature.
Okay.
And so basically you open messages, then you tap on notifications, and then you tap on announce messages with Siri and turn that toggle on. And there are a couple of different settings. It only works with messages and not third-party messaging apps. And then you can choose to have her respond or read your messages from maybe just your favorite contacts or all contacts. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of control you can have with that.
Okay. I'm looking at all the, like, wait, look at all these other options I could be having right now that I'm not using. So.
Oh, and also that when you go to notifications, the announce messages with Siri will only appear once you have connected one of these headphones. So for everyone else, it's just not there at all.
Oh, okay. And it's right here at the top. So if you go to notifications, announce messages with Siri. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pretty nice feature.
I definitely need that. Okay, at least I can do it with my mere mortal AirPods. So that'll be good. So, oh, and here's the bonus to that, because I don't know if you saw this yet, Andrew. When you turn on announce messages with Siri, it says announce messages from, and in messages you can turn that on and off. And if it's on, there's an option for reply without confirmation. And it says you can have her send replies without first reading the message back.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that,
I don't think I mentioned that in my
that
tip.
Might be good. depending. I can't seem to teach her that the word Mandalorian is actually a word. So if I'm using dictation, she kind of needs a little assistance. As you can imagine, it's just me texting John about the Mandalorian all the time. Because we talked about it on background mode. But
glorious indeed.
It's so good. She does do it with autocomplete. Like, I type it enough that she knows when I'm starting to type Mandalorian. But but if I say it, she doesn't always know. And so it'll be like M-A-N space car, because it'll be like DeLorean. no, lady, that's not what I meant. So, yeah, that's one. But the reply without confirmation would be very handy. And part of that is because I like to the primary use for my AirPods, which is not the primary use for them right now because the weather in Portland is very cold. But I use them in the yard constantly. I do yard work and stuff in the summer, and we're working on yard projects and things. So when I'm working on stuff outside, having my AirPods in is very handy. But when I'm digging in the dirt, it's not always convenient to haul out my phone and try to reply to a message. So having her just announce them would be great. So
yeah, I think that's my favorite aspect of these AirPods is it's you can do more things here hand-free. Mm-hmm. Hands-free, because I just had the first generation of AirPods, and
oh, so you didn't even have version, Hey Lady with yours, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But with this one you can, and I'm pretty sure that's what that H1 chip does. I think it allows the hands-free stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what it's for. That was part of why I was glad there was sort of a second generation. So I was getting more than just the wireless case when I finally got mine.
Yeah.
And it's been super handy because I do ask her to do things or, operate my phone or whatever by using the Hey Lady while I'm doing other things. So it's super nice. And there are times when I have found that using the assistant through my AirPods is more accurate than if I just have my phone on the counter and, like, say I'm washing dishes or something and my phone is sitting on the counter next to me and I say, hey, and it's my phone that's doing it. My phone doesn't always pick it up as well as what my headphones do. So
okay.
Pro tip, if the lady has a hard time understanding you, try headphones and see, like, even pack in, you know, free wired headphones. Like, even that microphone sometimes is better. So that's what I've found with them.
And folks, make sure your AirPods don't fall into the dishwater.
My AirPods have never fallen out of my ears once. I don't know how. It's magic, I'm assuming. But I've never had trouble with them falling out. Ever. So, like, nobody's more surprised about that than I am, I assure you.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yes. I regularly mow the lawn with them in. I've like pulled weeds. I've had to run with them in, not far, but something urgent was happening over there, and I had to run with my AirPods in and ran across the yard and didn't lose an AirPod. So for me, they've been remarkably reliable. Your mileage may vary.
Does somebody have an AirPod podcast called Your Borg Life?
They should.
I think someone's about to. Yeah. This week in assimilation. Is that where you're headed?
Yeah. Cool.
All right. If you're about to host This Week in Assimilation, John would very much like to hear about it. So make sure you give us feedback on that show as well as this one at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always a treat. And Andrew, thank you so much for being here. Tell us about AirPods.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.